It's good to welcome you here today. There's going to be a few different things happen in a different order today. But I just want to, first of all, to welcome you all here to worship. And we pray that as we look at God's word and as we fellowship together and as we, whatever you want, need today, then the Lord is ready to provide that for you. If it's a word, if it's just a vision, if it's, He just wants to be in your presence and he wants you to know that he is around and about you at this moment in time, then that's why we are here to worship. But the first thing that's going to be different is I'm going to ask all the children to come forward, first of all. All the children that are here. Am I on? Am I on, Mother? Thank you. Right. First of all, it's very important. Who else have we got? Oh, yes, Hudson. Oh, what a beautiful bracelet, Hudson. We won't lose you, will we? Hey, that's right. Okay. Now, we have some visitors here today. We have Mia and we have Max. Is that right? So the very first important announcement is that Max has lost a little brick. So if you could have a look around and about you, and if you can see his brick, please return it. It's one of these little yellow bricks. Okay, so they've now seen it, Max. So you might have hordes of people coming to you at the end of the meeting. Okay, but we hope that you manage to find your little brick. Okay, because it's very, very important. But it is lovely to have Mia and Max here. Another thing is, do you realise we've got one of the newest junior soldiers in the Salvation Army here? There we are. It was a few weeks ago at Regent Hall, yes, and was there lots of people in the hall? Yeah, were you nervous when you went up on the platform? A bit nervous. I get a bit nervous as well, especially when I have to look at this lot, yeah. Okay, so it's lovely that Mia and Max are here, but also the other thing is, oh, we've got some people back. We've got Matt. You were here last week? Yes, you were here last week. Ava was missing last week. But you went to see the penguins at the zoo, didn't you? Yeah, she went to see the penguins at the zoo. We had Catherine here last week, yes? It's lovely to see you. Lovely to see you. Well, what's happened is, this last week, Joe and Gemma have been away on a training course. They've been back to school. Why were you so happy? Because you had the house to yourself.
Can I go next week?
Can they go next week? Yeah, typical. Yes. So they've been away on a training, and it's all about godly play. I think it's in the title, really. Play, but it's all about God's story and how we make it relevant. So to help them, Jo was asked if she continue with her training, if this morning's going to take the children out, and you're going to do a session of godly play. But it takes longer than 20 minutes or 30 minutes that we normally have for Sunday school. So you're going to go out now. Okay? So we will miss you. We will miss you in our meeting because it's lovely looking down there and seeing you all. But we're just going to share a prayer together. Oh, there. I think she's got beautiful shoes on. And I think that might be a little hint as to part of the story. If you don't, yeah. We've got penguins, we've got rainbow shoes. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Right, we're going to share a prayer with you, okay? So if you just close your eyes and we'll just share a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our children. We thank you for all the potential that they have. And as they go out to do godly play, we also recognise, Lord, that we are preparing them for the future. We are planting the seed, your stories, in their hearts. And so I just pray, Lord, that as they go out, that they will have a good time. And direction. So let's give them a clap as they go out and enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.
you. The fourth verse, crown him, ye martyrs of our God, who from his altar call extol the power of Jesus' blood and crown him Lord of all. We are missing the male voices in this, although I can say that James is doing wonderful down here. He's singing for you all, okay? Singing the male part there. So we'll sing verses 4 and 5. Keep it up, James. Thank you.
Good to welcome you, to see you today in worship. We're thinking today, right across the Salvation Army in this country, about those who are preparing to be commissioned as Salvation Army officers in July in Birmingham. We want to pray God's blessing upon them in these last few weeks as they do some various exams for the courses they have been on, and they share in their covenant day and then in their commissioning. We want also to ask God to place upon the hearts of young men and women, middle-aged men and women, and even older men and women, the need for spiritual leadership. No point in just having officers if we don't have local officers. You know, some are called to be available to go where and wherever. I want to say the strength of any church or Salvation Army Corps is its local officers who give faithful service week in, week out, year in and year out. And there are some very key roles that need people within this fellowship to respond to God and to say, yes, Lord, I am available to serve you in these days. We're going to share prayer together and we're going to sing a lovely chorus. It simply says, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today. And then the second verse says, in your church, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in your church, Lord, be glorified today. You are the church, not this building. The church in this town meets in at least 23 different locations. And they're probably Christians meeting in homes together. And they are part of the church. Wherever God's people come together, that is church. Not just in worship, but in fellowship and in serving the community in which we live. We want God to be glorified in our words and in our actions. Let's sing together the first two verses, please. Thank you. Thank you. more verses, "In my home, Lord, be glorified," and then, "In my words, Lord, be glorified." Let's sing verse 3 and verse 4. Father God, today we ask that you would be pleased to accept our worship, our praise and gratitude for who you are and what you have done for us in Jesus. We want you, Father God, to be glorified in who we are, in the way we live our lives. We want you to be glorified in the way in which we conduct ourselves with each other. Jesus reminds us time and time again to love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, encourage one another. Help us to do that, Father God, day by day, week by week. Help us, Father God, in a very special way today and in the coming days, that our religious life, our relationship with you, is not something that we just turn out on a Sunday morning, but that we glorify you in our homes, with those we live with, our neighbours, the people we work with. Our faith has no significance if it does not impact and challenge the world in which we live. Put a guard over our words so that what we speak is gracious and loving and encouraging, but truthful, so that lives can be transformed. People too can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. We will pray for those who are unable to be with us for worship today. Lord, some are celebrating, some are away on holiday. There are many who are far from well. And as we pray, we ask, Father God, that just where our brothers and sisters are, you will be there with them, and that, Father God, your presence will surround them and minister and share their experience just now. As we go through this act of worship, Lord, I pray that every aspect of this hour we will share together will bring us closer to you, and equip us for the challenges and the joys that lie ahead this coming week. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence, to share with each other. And I pray, Father God, to go home encouraged and uplifted by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to share scripture together, and our Bible reading of this morning is taken from Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22.
And the first 14 verses says this. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Sarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go. Go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. Amen. We're going to listen now to the message that the songsters are going to bring to us, entitled Hymn to the Conqueror. Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you very much. Jesus shall conquer, and righteousness shall reign. Amen. We're going to sing another song, this time entitled, Jesus, with what gladness I can truly sing. Thou art my Redeemer, friend and guide and King. Thou art mine forever. I will give to thee all my life and treasure. Thine alone I'll be. What words. Are we willing to give all, give everything? All my life, all my treasure, thine alone I'll be. Song of Testimony. We're going to sing the first two verses. We'll stand, we'll sing the first two verses, and then after we've sung the second verse, if you'd like to be seated, but if you have a word of testimony, I have a microphone here, and you don't only just need to sing about Jesus, but maybe you'd like to testify and tell us about what he's doing in your life in these days. Thank you very much. Please be upstanding. If you have a testimony, then please remain standing and I'll come to you with the mic. Oh dear. It's a very low... Oh, one. I was going to say I was all by myself. Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you very much. I was only prompted at the very last moment when I sat down, actually.
Okay.
All I have I give thee, though my powers are small. And this coming week, it will be 10 years since the good Lord saw fit to take my husband to be with him. And I just have to say that I don't know what I would have done without my Heavenly Father these past 10 years. I have not been on my own. Constantly, I have been aware of his presence. And I just want to praise him and thank him this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shirley. And certainly we'd be thinking about you this week as you go through this week. It is when the Lord decides to take. It's a wonderful journey that they've taken, but for us that are left behind, it's very, 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 very difficult. And some days we can feel very, very low because we miss our loved ones. But we know for those that have gone to be with the Lord, they're in a far better place than we could offer his. Anybody else got a word of testimony this morning? Dennis is waving at me. Of course you can't stand, Dennis. Sorry about that. But you've got a lovely wave.
Thank you. Yes, I think I can just echo what Shirley said. It's now coming up for 7 months since Marion passed away. But I must say that I have experienced more and more, day by day, the Lord's presence with me. And he certainly comes to you in a certain way, in ways perhaps that sometimes you don't expect. But the kindness of the people around me, my neighbours, and especially coming to the hall again has been a real pleasure for me to come, having been away for so long. And so thank you all very much indeed for your companionship and the caring and the prayers. Thank you very much.
See, fellowship is important. Fellowship is important. Are you coming towards me, Doug? Wonderful. He hides around the corner here, but he's here every week. Thank you.
Okay.
Do I need to sit down now?
You can sit down now.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you believe in modern miracles. I've had several the last few months, but I've had one this week. It was rather amusing. But this week we should have had our bathroom turned into a wet room. And I thought, how do I cope 24 hours or 48 hours without a toilet? Because when I want to go, I have to go. And that's why I sit around the corner so I don't disturb anybody. But Tuesday, the builders were due to start. No builders arrived. And I thought, well, I can cope with another 24 hours. And so I phoned the army, and the guy at the army said, well, it's like this. We don't know why. And all day he couldn't get hold of the builders. So I thought, well, they'll either turn up tomorrow morning or they won't. Wednesday morning came, no builders. I thought, this is wonderful. A few minutes later, the guy from the property department rang me and said, we've been in touch with the builders, they've screwed up, they can't come for another month. For me, that was a miracle.
How do you follow that? But you see, miracles come in all shapes and sizes, and it's sometimes it's the ordinary things that sometimes we forget to be grateful for. We're looking for the big, massive things of God to change or transform. Yet sometimes it's just the small things that allow us to be able to continue. What's the next verse that's coming up? I will be a pilgrim in the great crusade, following thy footsteps ever unafraid. Well, we'll sing this last verse. Remain seated. And if there is anybody else who would like to give their testimony, I'll just give a pause at the end. But this last verse, please. Thank you. Is there anybody who would be disappointed if they didn't get the chance to give their testimony? Heather, I'll come round. Thank you.
Now, this is how to embarrass my husband. This morning, we've been away on holiday and we've had family over from Holland. It's been a real busy week with not a lot of sleep and all that sort of thing. And so this morning we woke up a little later than we usually do. And John said, "So are we going to church?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Shall we have another day off and finish the holiday off this way?" And he said, "No, I'd rather go." He said, "I've really enjoyed it. I enjoy the fellowship. I've been made really welcome." So he said, "I would like to go." So here we are. And I'm so glad we did, because the songs we've been singing today have really touched. And I think it's good. I'm so glad that you have accepted John. And little by little, he's doing a bit more and more, whether he wants to or not. he's getting involved. But I would just thank you all for being so kind to him and actually making him feel welcome. He said he's never had so many people speak to him in a day as he has done when he's here. So thank you for that. Thank you for the encouragement. Well done. And welcome, John. We'll just see what other jobs we've got for you lined up. You never know.
I just want to say John's a good man. He changed my tyre for me. At Christmas, we went to pick some things up just above Thetford. And as we're driving away, my tyre goes flat. And so we had to pull off into a car park of a local store. And John kindly changed the tyre for me. Or I'd still be there. I'm convinced of it. God bless you. It's lovely to have you as part of our fellowship. In fact, all of you are important. And those who aren't here are important. And we must never give up on anyone. Well, in a few short weeks' time, we'll be celebrating Her Majesty's 70th anniversary of succession to the throne. The platinum. I suspect that when they celebrated Queen Victoria's jubilees, they thought they would never be anyone reign as long. And Her Majesty has been faithful to what she has promised to do at the age of 21. Whether her life was long or short, she would serve her people. We want to celebrate that. And so, on the first Sunday in June, we'd like you please to bring a packed lunch, and we'll meet together after the meeting. We'll decorate the room and we will celebrate together Her Majesty's service to our nation and share fellowship together. So please put that in your diary. I am led to believe that Ranley Road will be closed on that day. They're having a street party. And the town are arranging for there to be stalls and celebrations on the main street. So I suspect you might have to get here early if you want to find somewhere to park. An important milestone. Let's enjoy celebrating it together. This is the part I don't like, announcements. I'm bound to get them wrong. John's away. He's celebrating a milestone birthday. And we hope that he is having a good time with family at this moment in time. I won't let you know how old he is. But the first number begins with an 8. Okay. So God bless. So there is a Bible study on Thursday at 1 o'clock. And I, as far as I'm aware, all other sectional activities are on as normal. Is that correct? Right. Thank you. So we look forward to sharing with you. Just now, we're going to listen as the band play for us "The Power of Your Love." Amen. I say thank you. Power of his love. It's not what any one of us does that makes the difference. It's whether we allow God to fill us and then to minister through us. Each of us is like a colander. We leak. And we need to be leaking the Holy Spirit left, right and centre. Because our world is hurting and needs to know the power of God's love. On this Candidate Sunday, and while it's important that we need to recognise the need for officer leadership, local officer leadership, we need to remind ourselves of the need for the people of God to be filled with his Holy Spirit. There's not one of us, in God's eyes, allowed to sit on the sideline and do nothing. If we cannot be active, we can be prayer warriors. And down the history of the church, before God does anything, he lays it upon the hearts of his people to pray. And as we pray, we open ourselves up to the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, who directs us and lays upon our hearts what needs to be done in a given situation. I'd ask you, please, to begin to pray for Paul and Let and their family. You will get the spiritual leadership that you pray for or don't pray for. You need to cover them in prayer. Ask God to protect them from the bombs of the evil one, so that they can give sound, good spiritual leadership to this core family. That God opens up opportunities that we have not yet dreamed. Don't believe God has finished with the Salvation Army yet. I believe he wants to use us once more before Jesus comes to collect us. Katrina kindly read for us from Acts chapter 22. It's Paul giving his testimony. Paul gives his testimony a number of times in the books of Acts and in other places. The account of his conversion or his encounter with Jesus is recorded in Acts chapter 9. He's a religious man. We discover that he's been trained from a very early age in Judaism. One of his teachers was very well known and respected. And he passionately served God, the God of Israel, willingly and mercilessly persecuted the followers of Jesus. And yet God placed his hand upon this man. And I think I've said this before, and I don't apologize for saying it again. You see, every one of us has a past, but every sinner also has a future in Jesus Christ. Your past does not define who you are or what you will become. When Paul testified, he was saying to the people, "This is what I was like before I met Jesus on the road to Damascus." He doesn't labour it. He just tells it as it is, warts and all, mistakes and everything, the good and the bad. But he doesn't dwell there. He doesn't allow his past to hold him from engaging in the present and in the future for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't care what your past is. What I care about is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? I don't care how many times you come to church. Although when you're not here, we miss you. Because when you get to heaven, there is going to be no register. Remember school where you had your name called out? You had to say, here, here. So you'd have Smith, Armstrong, Lennox. And we were tired if you didn't say here at the right time. If you didn't say, where I went to school, if you didn't say here straight away, you were marked absent, even though you were in the class. So there's going to be no record of how many times you went to church. The only question that's going to be asked of you is, when were you introduced to Jesus? When did you give your life to Jesus? When did you claim forgiveness of your sins in the precious name and the blood of Jesus? That's the only criteria by which you and I and the rest of the world will be judged. You see, when you know someone loves you, it changes your life. Oh, when I fell in love, the sound of my wife's voice made my heart sing. I'm not answering that. But I will ask you, when you hear the voice of God, does your heart sing? Do you know the voice of God? See, Jesus did say that his flock, he would call them by name and they will follow. So it is important. Do you know the voice of your master? Do you hear him saying, this is the way, walk in it? He wants to lead you and I to pastures where we can be spiritually fed and nurtured. He wants us to be the one thing about sheep, you see, is I'm told, they have a pecking order like chickens. Sheep tend to butt heads because they feel as though they ought to be more important than the other person in the flock. That happens in church families as well, but it shouldn't happen. It needs the master to come along and to gently separate and to put each of us in the place where he wants us to serve him. None of us should be looking at another and saying, I could do a better job than that. Chances are you might be able to, but it's not who can do the job better. It's what does God want that person to learn from that service and that ministry? How will he use their personality? How will they grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, here is Paul, who persecuted the church, then goes away for 3 years in preparation, and then he comes back and begins to minister. The early days, there would have been men and women who were suspicious of him. I no doubt believe that throughout his life there would be those within the fellowship who would feel it's not right what he did. But Paul tells people about what he was and then what God called him to do. Not for self-glory, but to give the glory and the honour to Jesus. He says, Jesus was calling me by name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That memory stayed with him. Can you remember the day you became a Christian? I can remember coming to the Salvation Army. I can remember becoming a junior soldier, putting a junior soldier's uniform on. But I remember the day when I heard Jesus speak. And I don't know how, but in Gateshead, I found myself kneeling at the mercy seat. And a wise old man came and prayed with me. And I asked Jesus into my heart and into my life. And I stood up a different young man. And I'm not going to say everything has been easy. Still, my wife is absolutely correct when she says I'm a grumpy old man. It's true. I look at the world and I think it's not the way it used to be. And I can just think how my granddad would react today. He would be, oh, well, I'll not say what he would be doing. It's not what I'm here to do. The world needs to know how you met Jesus. The world will judge your faith and my faith, not by the words we say, but what we're doing for Jesus now and for the world in which we live. You see, Paul's life was not easy. He went on missionary journeys. He got shipwrecked. He was arrested, placed under a house arrest, and even lost his life for the Lord he loved and served. I cannot guarantee what will happen in your Christian life, but I will say this to you. You will meet many interesting people. They will have an influence upon you. And if you know Jesus, you might have an influence upon them for the destination of their eternal soul. The church exists to be a spiritual hospital in the world in which we live. And if only today 5% of our nation go to church on a regular basis, then there's 95% of people. That's a big percentage to reach. 58% of people in this country claim to be Christians. But sometimes how we view what Christianity is a bit skewed. The question is, do you know Jesus? When did he become your saviour? And are you serving him today in the way he wants you to serve him? Amen. We're going to listen. We're going to share a song together. I'm going to ask Katrina to lead us through this lovely reflective song. Beautiful words. And I just pray that you will allow God, through his Spirit, to speak to your heart and mind this morning. Thank you.
The song has the words, if crosses come, if it should cost me dearly to be the servant of my servant Lord. If darkness falls around the path of duty and men despise the Saviour I've adored, I'll not turn back. Whatever it may cost, I'm called to live, to love, and save the lost. A beautiful song. I remember the first time that I was introduced to this song was at my commissioning, so many moons ago. But very a song that then means so much to me. If crosses come, if it should cost me dearly to be the servant of my servant, Lord. If darkness falls around the path of duty and men despise the Saviour I've adored, I'll not turn back. There have been times when that question, those words have been more difficult to say. Because there have been times when, yes, I've had to say to the Lord and question, is this the way you want me to go? Is this what you want me to carry on doing? So let's just sing this first verse and chorus together, please. The word of God can never, never be contained. His love cannot be finally frustrated by narrow minds or prison bars restrained. As I sing this song, I also see sessional mates. I see people, as you see, as you came in the door, there is a table laid out that has David's sessional flag on. Servant of God, which he shares with David Squirrel, and also my own sessional flag, a guardian of the truth. But I'm also thankful to Felixstowe Corps. I didn't know it then, but when I was commissioned, to marry Lieutenant David Lennox, but that wasn't going to happen for a few weeks. And so I was sent to Lieutenant Shirley Cracknell. I lived with her for 2 or 3 weeks. She moved on to Cowes on the Isle of Wight. We'd moved on to Ryde, but obviously I couldn't go and live at Ryde straight away. So I was grateful. And so for 2 or 3 weeks, and then subsequent for the 2 years that we lived on the island, we were mates on the island and shared in officers' fellowship. So I am grateful to Felixstowe Corps, because you gave one of yours into service. If doors should close, then other doors will open. Let's sing this second verse through, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll not turn back. Whatever it may cost, I'm called to live, to love and save the lost. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have sung those words, sometimes it's so easy to sing those words when we're amongst other believers, when we're sat in the congregation, in the comfort of this building. But then, Lord, we need to depart from this place and be the church where you want us to be, where you place us. Lord, we don't know what challenges or joys we will each face this week. But Lord, you give this time in order for us to be infilled, to listen to your voice, to equip us for all that lies ahead. So we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for your calling to each and every one of us. For as we've said before, everyone who is a disciple is called. A disciple is one who learns. We have so much to learn from you, Lord. Doesn't matter how long we've been on this path, on our journey with you. There is so, so much more to learn. So, Lord, we just ask that you will continue to be with us and help us in those times when actually, it's very, very difficult. Those times when we question. Those times when we actually want to chuck it all in. But Lord, I am grateful for those who have been on my journey and continue to be on my journey, who come along just at the right time. Just like Ananias went to Saul. I'm sure he didn't want to, but he went. And because I and Ananias listened to God's voice, then Saul became Paul. And we have that marvellous testimony. So Lord, if you are calling us this week to be an Ananias, then equip us. Give us the right words. Let us be who you want us to be. Amen. Amen. Before we close this morning, as I say, I did mention there was a display at the back of the hall. There's also some little cards on there. Each of these cards, it's either got somebody from the Messengers of Reconciliation, which is the session that will be commissioned in July, or there is a reflector of the holiness. They are the first year cadets, so in summer they will go out on their summer appointment. I just add, there does seem to be rather a lot on the table. That is because there's three for everyone. We've printed three because we wanted everybody to have a card. And as you say, as you know, the sessions aren't as large as they used to be. So please take a card, pray for the person, write to them at college. If you want the address, I'll give you the address. Don't always expect a reply, though, because if they suddenly get 300 cards, they won't reply to everyone. But please, take a card. Pray for this person. They have responded to God's call. They don't know what the future holds. They will be standing there at their commissioning this July and excited about their first appointment and the people that they're going to meet. Also pray for the call that we'll be receiving, the new lieutenants and the cadets over the summer period. They've been in a bubble for these last 2 years in their training. Their sessional mates won't be going with them. They will be on their own. So pray for them as well. And there's also a tin there on the table because if you'd like to give a donation to the Candidates Fund, what that does, it helps those who are struggling through training, through lack of finance. It just helps them. So there is a box on the table. If over the next few weeks you want to place something in that box, that will go to the Candidates Fund. So please remember all our cadets, and as those are commissioned as lieutenants, and those who then will be entering this coming September. But our final song this morning is God's Soldier Marches as to war, a soldier on an alien shore, a soldier true, will keep the highest aims in view. God's soldier goes where sin is found, where evil reigns his battleground, a cunning foe to overthrow and strike for truth, a telling blow. Shall we rise and we'll sing this song straight through, please?
And now, Father God, I ask that your peace, your love, and your grace will rest upon my friends here today and go with them and keep them safe until we share again in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning and God bless.